written passage this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. We'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. All right. Hear now the word of our Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning, we come both to the last sermon in this series, which I've titled Calling All Disciples. But we also come to a day in the church calendar known as Transfiguration Sunday. Now, I've talked a number of times about how the church calendar was created and why it was created and the various days that appear on the church calendar were each of which were put there in order to point to a significant event in the life and ministry of Jesus. Of course, we know the big ones. We have Christmas, and of course, the season leading up to it, Advent. We have Easter, and the season leading up to that, Lent. We also have Trinity Sunday. We have Pentecost. We have All Saints Day, and we have these specific days in the church calendar to point to both events in Jesus' life as well as significant theological points from the Scriptures. When they were putting together the church calendar, those that were organizing it agreed that the Transfiguration was significant enough that we needed a day to talk about it. And so it appears every year on the church calendar the Sunday before we begin Lent. But why was it so important? Why was this event, out of all the events that happen in the Gospels, why was this so important that it earned itself a spot on the church calendar? I want to take a moment and just look at the event itself, the story of the Transfiguration. And of course, this is one that you've heard many times. It's often, we often read this passage on this Sunday each year, even if I or other pastors don't preach on it every single year. But in looking at this, what we see is shortly before Jesus goes to Jerusalem to begin his passion, to begin his sacrifice, we have this brief moment in which three of his disciples see him uncloaked, see him for who he truly is. They see him as the divine second person of the Trinity. Now, transfiguration is simply two words kind of smashed together in order to try to get a point across. Trans, of course, change. We, unfortunately, you know the meaning of that word all too well nowadays. Figuration means figure, form. It's where we get the word figure from. as in a person's figure. And so a change in form, that's what transfiguration means. And I'm sure for the disciples, it started out as just kind of nothing too special, a regular occurrence. Jesus took three of them up onto a mountain to pray. Now we see a number of times when Jesus goes off on his own during his ministry in order to spend some time in prayer. Occasionally he will bring someone with him, and when he does, it's usually these three. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the disciples went to the garden, but Jesus took these three a little bit further. These were kind of who we refer to as his inner circle. They were three of the first four disciples who he called. Now, I've always kind of wondered why, it was Peter, James, and John, but not Andrew. I kind of feel sorry for Andrew. He's kind of left out in the cold. He was one of the first four. And in fact, in the Gospel of John, we find out that he actually went and he got Peter and brought Peter to Jesus. So why he didn't end up in the inner circle, I don't quite know. I can't answer that. That's something we'd have to ask Jesus one day. But Jesus brings these three, his inner circle, up onto this mountain to spend some time in prayer. And, I don't know if you've ever just gone out, into the woods, into, wilderness, for lack of a better term, just to spend a little bit of alone time with God in creation. That's one thing. I don't do it as often as I probably should, but that's one thing that I've always enjoyed, just going out. Usually I'll go on a hike first, and then I'll find a nice, quiet place where I can just sit and pray. And I just love that time of sitting there, especially if I'm on a cliffside, just sitting there looking out at the beauty of God's creation and spending some time in prayer. And that's what they were doing this day when suddenly, instead of one person standing in front of them, there were three people standing in front of them. And I'm sure that in and of itself was a bit of a shock. Just suddenly, there are two other people standing there talking with Jesus that weren't there before. And it's not a matter of they were on the mountain and they just happened to run into them. They appeared out of nowhere. And if that wasn't spectacular enough, we have this great transfiguring of Jesus. Jesus was transformed, transfigured in front of them. And it says that his clothes and face began to shine brightly, and light shone from his face. And the disciples are dumbstruck. All except Peter, who, of course, I love Peter. He sticks his foot in it once again, and he says something foolish. But you can't really blame him. I mean, if you witness something like he did, and your coping mechanism is just to say the first thing that pops into your mind, which how many of us can be honest that, when we're caught off guard, we just say the first thing that pops into our mind. It can get us in trouble sometimes. And that's what Peter does. And he's standing there looking at Jesus, and these two men who appeared out of nowhere, they're men that he has never met before, and yet somehow, miraculously, he knows exactly who they are. Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah. He's never met Moses or Elijah. They left this earth several centuries before he was born. Maybe even a millennia. I don't know. I'd have to check the dates. They've been gone from this earth for hundreds of years, and yet he knows who they are. And it's not just a matter of, later on they ask Jesus, hey, who were those guys? And so the writer, tells us. Peter actually speaks, Lord, this is great. I can build three shelters, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We'll just stay here forever. And I just find it amazing that, first that he knows who they are, and then just what it would have been like to witness these great heroes of the faith appearing before him? I mean, Moses, he wrote the law. He wrote the book. Elijah, he faithfully served God. He stood up against corrupt kings and queens and challenged false priests and prophets. And Elijah is one of two people that the Bible tells us God took without them dying. And he's standing here, and you can understand why he would want this moment to last forever. Whenever we have powerful encounters with God, powerful experiences, we want those to last forever. You know, one of the most powerful experiences, spiritually speaking, that I've ever had in my life, and this just, it sticks out in my head every time I think about what was the most powerful spiritual experience in my life. I remember kneeling at an altar in the tabernacle at Beulah Youth Institute, Beulah Holiness Camp in Southern Illinois, the church camp that I went to growing up. I remember kneeling at that altar. I was one of the first ones to go up to the altar, and I knelt there praying for a long time, and I just felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when I opened my eyes, almost the entire student body was down at the altar praying, and it was just such an amazing thing. I saw so many lives changed that night. People giving their heart over to the Lord, people accepting a call to ministry, people receiving prophetic words from the Lord. Even one friend of mine who said that he saw the tabernacle filled with angels worshiping with us. And we all wanted that moment to last forever. We didn't want to leave that place. We were still worshiping 2 hours after the worship service was supposed to end. We didn't want to leave that place. We wanted to stay in that tabernacle forever. However, like Peter and the others had to learn, we couldn't stay there forever. Because those mountaintop experiences are great, but they do no good if you don't then go forth and share what happened with you with others. Well, in the midst of Peter's rambling, in the midst of his stumbling over himself, we have one of two instances in the Gospels where God speaks from heaven in an audible voice. Just as at Jesus' baptism, the voice of God the Father comes down from heaven and he says, I'm going to have to do my best to do a booming bass voice, otherwise I'll have to invite Daniel up here. This is my son. You could do it better than me. With him, I am well pleased. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. He said that at Jesus' baptism, and he said it again here. But then he adds something here, and this is very important. He says, listen to him. Listen to him. You know, we all love spending time with Jesus. I'm sure for the disciples, those 3 years of traveling with him was just amazing. Being able to witness those miracles alone. Plus, how great would it be to be able to sit down and have a meal with God? And I'm sure at times it felt like all they did was listen to him preach, listen to him teach, but yet somehow they still missed the most important part of what he was saying. Because even though they traveled with him for 3 years, And he said countless times, it's not countless, I could go and I could count if I actually took the time to go through the Gospels. But he said time and time again that he would die, and then 3 days later he would rise again. He said it. I will die, and then 3 days later I will rise again. And even in this passage, at the very end of it, he says, don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has been risen from the dead. But you know, that kind of just seems to go over their heads, because when he dies, they're all devastated. I mean, even a day before he died, at the Last Supper, Jesus says, okay, I'm going to die, but don't worry, in 3 days I'm going to live again. And then he dies, and they're like, oh no, what happened? We didn't expect this. And you'd think that after all these times that Jesus said, don't worry, 3 days, I'll rise again, that Sunday morning they all would have been standing outside the tomb saying, okay, come on, Jesus, we're ready to welcome you, welcome back. But it was a surprise once again. They were with Jesus. They heard everything he said. But they didn't listen. How often do we fail to truly listen to the voice of God? You know, these disciples, they had accepted his call. They had left everything behind. They followed him. They had been sent out to serve. They had been doing the work. They had been doing the ministry. But yet, even in the midst of their faithful service to him, their ears were not necessarily open to the truth that was right in front of them. It's easy for us to listen to the voice of God when things are going well. Well, let me rephrase that. That's actually the opposite of what I was trying to say. It's easy for us to listen to the voice of God when we're seeking guidance, when we need help. Now, how many of us, when we face a difficulty in our lives, do we cry out to God for help? Now, I mentioned during our prayer and praise time that 9 years ago, I went and I started preaching at Hennepin. When I received that phone call from the district superintendent, I only had one night to think about it, pray about it. I remember going to my dad's office and shutting the door and kneeling at his prayer table and just spending an hour on my knees praying, Lord, tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. And I had to be very intentional to shut out everything else, to only focus on God so that I could hear his voice. And I received the answer that I was asking for. When things are going well, when ministry is booming, when we're having great attendance on Sunday mornings, we're doing powerful things with the ministry team, we're out being the hands and feet of God in the community, when things are going well, we often forget to listen. We forget that even in the midst of everything going the way that we think it should be going, even in the midst of faithful service, we still have to be listening for the voice of God to direct us and show us his will. Because when we are not actively listening for the voice of God, it's easy to convince ourselves that God is just telling us to do what we already want to do. You know, the disciples, despite being with Jesus for 3 years, still thought that him being the Messiah meant he was going to be a conquering king and sit on an earthly throne. They weren't listening. He was talking. They were hearing him. But they weren't listening. Brothers and sisters, we have to listen for the voice of God. And sometimes that voice comes in a quiet whisper. Talking about Elijah, look back to his mountaintop experience. There was an earthquake, there was a fire, there was a whirlwind, but God spoke to him in that quiet whisper. And only by listening carefully could he hear what the Lord had to say. Brothers and sisters, God is speaking to us. Jesus promised when he left this earth that he would send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would continue to teach us. In John chapter 14, verses 25 and 26, he says, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said." The gift of the Holy Spirit is more than just providing those powerful mountaintop experiences. Through the Holy Spirit, God is able to speak directly into our hearts every day. All we have to do is to be willing to be quiet a little. Open our ears and to listen for his voice. One last thing that I want to point out about this passage is the emphasis on God's timing. You know, after a powerful experience like this, being on the mountain, seeing Jesus transformed in front of them, getting to see Moses and Elijah, hearing the voice of God the Father booming down from heaven. I'm sure all Peter, James, and John wanted to do was tell people about it. I mean, can you imagine the conversation between Peter and Andrew? You will not guess what I missed, or what you missed. You will not believe what you missed today. You should have been with us, Andrew. I mean, talk about sibling rivalry there. But Jesus said, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until after I have risen." You know, the truth is, if Jesus had appeared transfigured before the entire assembly of the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, it would have been impossible to deny who he was. He would have been crowned king. He would have been recognized nationwide and even worldwide, at least the known world of the time, the Jewish world, the Greco-Roman world. He would have been recognized as the Messiah. He wouldn't have had to suffer and die. But that was not a part of God's plan. And Jesus knew that as important as it was for the disciples to see him in that way, it was also important that they keep to themselves until after he had fulfilled the Father's plan. He didn't tell them, never tell anybody about this. He just said to wait. And sometimes the waiting is just as hard, if not harder, than the listening. Sometimes God's timing doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. Even when he reveals his great plan for us, even when we have a clear picture of what it is that he wants us to accomplish, sometimes the first step in accomplishing his plan is to wait. Be patient. And to wait upon his timing, which is always perfect. We may not realize it at the time, but his timing is always perfect. We know that the disciples eventually did share their testimony of what happened that day. Eventually, they were able to fulfill the plan that he had in place. but only through listening carefully to his voice and by waiting on his timing were they able to bring about the glory that he had promised. So, brothers and sisters, that is the last of these callings that I'm going to give to you today. We are called to follow him in all things and at all times, even if it means leaving behind things that we hold dear. We are called to receive and offer healing. Receive that healing that he offers us to heal our broken hearts, to heal our souls, and then to offer that healing back to others. We are called to serve, to be his hands and feet in the community around us. We are also called to listen and to wait on his perfect timing. We are called to be his faithful disciples and to trust in him for everything. Next week, we will be entering into the season of Lent. And Lent is a time of preparation. It's a time of repentance. And it's a time of waiting. And one of the things that we often talk about during Lent is the practice of fasting. It's a spiritual discipline that we emphasize for those 40 days each year. But you know, fasting is not simply giving something up. You know, it's easy to say, well, I'm going to fast one day a week, not eat anything. Or I'm going to skip this particular meal every day during Lent. Or I'm going to give up watching television or reading a book or playing a game or eating this particular food. And we can do all these different things as a spiritual discipline to give them up to God, but it means nothing if we don't use that time for prayer. If we just skip a meal and use that time to keep working, that's not fasting. That's skipping a meal. Instead, whatever it is we're fasting from, we are to give that time to the Lord, to open our ears and to listen for what the Lord is saying to you. So as we prepare to enter into this season of Lent, I'm calling all disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, listen. Listen to the Lord. Ask him, how is he calling you to serve? What is he calling you to leave behind? And what healing is he offering you today? As we prepare to enter into this season of waiting, this season of preparation, this season of repentance, let us enter into it with hearts and ears open to hear the voice of God and to truly listen so that we may know his will and we may do all things for his glory. Amen.